You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today, I will be covering the case of Carl Smith. On September 26, 1997, Carl Smith, covered in blood, would stumble into a gas station asking for help. Carl would be able to tell investigators he had been attacked by at least two men before he slipped out of consciousness. Unfortunately, Carl would pass away from his injuries the following day without ever gaining consciousness again. 25 years later, and his case is still unsolved. Carl Anthony Smith Jr. was born November 7, 1973, and grew up in Luthersville, Georgia, a small town in Meriwether County, Georgia, just 13 miles from Greenville. When I say small, I mean small. In 2020, the last complete census report of the current population was 776. To say this is a tight community is an understatement. Carl spent his childhood on a farm where he could truly be a kid. He often was found playing on his trampoline, fishing at the lake, and collecting bugs. He loved his two poodles, Chi-Chi and Tinker Toy, that happily joined him on his adventures playing in the barn and helping collect eggs from chickens on his family's farm. In his childhood, Carl loved die-cast cars, comic books, Roadrunner cartoons, and candy. Carl was athletic from a young age and did extremely well in local sports teams, especially basketball and baseball. He was a well-liked kid and got along with almost everyone, except bullies. He did get into a few fights standing up for kids that were being picked on throughout his school career. As Carl entered high school and his teen years, working out and lifting became a passion for him. Carl was always a strong kid and now was becoming a strong man who, at the time of his death, was able to bench press 400 pounds. He was into bands like Kiss, AC/DC, and Metallica. His favorite song was Wild Things by Tone Loc. He loved horror movies and would often spin his rock records backwards, looking for hidden messages. Halloween was his favorite holiday because he really enjoyed scary costumes inspired by horror flicks like Friday the 13th, Hellraiser, and Pumpkinhead. While Carl was known in his teen years as an athletic jock type who loved rock music, he also was a very talented artist. He could draw most people just by sight. Friends recall one time when Carl got into a car accident in his Dodge Omni that rolled three times. Carl survived that accident without injury, and his grip had been so tight on the steering wheel that he actually had pulled it completely out of the dash. Carl loved wrestling and often stayed up late Saturdays to watch WWF wrestling and was a huge fan of Ron Henderson. He would attend wrestling matches in Fayetteville and sometimes was able to get in the ring with wrestlers. Carl was a generous, kind soul that often offered strangers stranded on the road rides in his 1984 Ford Thunderbird, even taking a man all the way to Atlanta and asked for nothing in return. Carl also regularly visited a lonely elder man for 2 years that lived between Luthersville and Greensville up until the elderly man passed. Often Carl would just go and sit with him so he didn't feel so lonely, and after his passing, often spoke of how much he missed those visits. During high school, Carl also worked after school and on the weekends. He worked as a cook at Popeyes and the Country Club, which suited him well as he was an original foodie. Friends say that Carl took his love for food and eating seriously at the all-you-can-eat buffets in town. Carl used the money from his jobs to treat loved ones to meals, especially birthday meals, at Mirler's Barbecue in Fayetteville. In the early 90s, Carl would graduate from Heard County High School and begin a manufacturing job at Photo Circuits in Peachtree City. He enjoyed his work and was doing well for himself. He often used his skill as an artist and his job to make personalized portraits for family and loved ones as gifts. In 1996, things seemed to be looking good for Carl. He had a bright future ahead of him. Carl, now 23, would begin a new relationship between the years of 96 and 97. This would be about the same time that Carl made the decision to move out of his hometown to Noonan, which was about 12 miles from Luthersville. And that's when Carl began to struggle. There seems to be a pretty big shift in Carl's life, late 96, early 97. It's hard to say exactly when and who might have helped bring this exact change in direction into his life, but friends and family were noticing, and it was beginning to affect a lot of things in Carl's life. The place Carl rented in Noonan, friends describe, was just a bit better than a shed. It was one room with no running water and had no toilet. Carl had little to no furnishings and was sleeping on the floor. His belongings, like clothes and jewelry, were being taken by his new acquaintances that he had due to his new relationship. Carl's friends would say that because of this relationship, Carl's finances were being drained and they were taking advantage of Carl's generosity. It got so bad, Carl lost his new vehicle. Those that knew and loved him say that the short 3 or 4 months that Carl had been in Noonan, he had fallen into hard times. The night of the attack, Carl had gone out to a local restaurant with friends. Around midnight, his friends would bring him back to his apartment on Poplar Street. Carl told them that his plan for the rest of the evening was to walk up to a local convenience store, the Hot Spot, on Greenville Street later that night. This is where investigators believe Carl was attacked, on his walk along the railroad tracks towards the gas station. At 4 a.m., Carl would stumble through the convenience store doors, beaten and bloody. The clerk would rush to his aid. Carl would head to the restroom while the clerk phoned the police. Carl would make his way out of the bathroom, was able to grab himself a drink before finally setting into the booth to wait for police. Deputy Police Chief Rodney Riggs would arrive on scene to find Carl's head bleeding profusely and clinging to consciousness. Carl was able to tell the arriving deputy and officers that he had been attacked by at least 2 men, maybe 3, wielding sticks. Carl would lose consciousness while giving his statement to officers and unfortunately never regain consciousness to tell officers what else took place. Carl had collapsed to the floor in the convenience store and was rushed to Noonan Hospital, then transferred to Georgia Baptist Medical Center. Unfortunately, Carl would pass away the following day from the blunt force trauma to his head and the severe injuries to the rest of his body. It was determined through interviews with friends that Carl didn't have any money on him that night, so they don't see how that would have been a motive. They really didn't have a direction without a motive. Noonan Police Department let the public know they were offering a $1,000 reward for information leading to an arrest and a conviction of the people who killed Carl. And the governor at the time, Zell Miller, also offered an additional $2,000 reward in late November of 1997. In November, just a month after Carl was attacked, Detective Riggs would tell reporters at the Atlanta Constitution that they were stuck in their investigation and never saw a case where Noonan police offered $1,000 for information in a homicide investigation. Detective Riggs wouldn't find anything in Carl's life that indicated that he was involved with drugs, and he had no run-ins with law enforcement. Riggs said, quote, "I think Carl was a pretty good guy. From what I learned from the investigation, he was the victim of something where someone took advantage of him. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time," unquote. 25 years later, and Noonan police are still working to solve Carl's murder. Lieutenant Chris Robinson told the Noonan Times-Herald this February, quote, "A couple of people of interest are still around living locally, but nobody has ever come forward to give us enough information to make an arrest in this case. We are still hoping that someone will be able to give us information that can help us close the case years later," unquote. Even 25 years later, and family and friends that came forward to do the latest interview about Carl are listed simply as sources, as they are afraid of retribution all these years later. There is a strong sense that there are those in the community that have the answers to who killed Carl and why, but they are afraid to come forward. Noonan in 1997 had around 13,000 residents. While it wasn't as small as Luthersville, it was still a close community. Noonan today boasts close to around 45,000. That's a lot of growth, but investigators still believe one of those involved or those that knew those involved are still living in Noonan. I'm not sure anyone would know about this case if it wasn't for Noonan Times Herald reporter Rebecca Leftwich, who recently covered Carl's case in the February 11th issue. While I dug in archives and was able to find information on Carl initially in 1997, it was still very limited and still remains extremely limited online, with small mentions in Facebook unsolved groups. But Rebecca was able to tell Carl's story and give him a voice with the main focus on who Carl was. And that is journalism we love to see in this community. I'll be, of course, linking her article in the show notes and on Sipping on Some Crime site. A lesson in supporting your local journalist and your local paper, because many times they might be the only voice for families and victims. If you have information regarding the murder of Carl Smith, you can anonymously report tips by calling Crime Stoppers at 404-577-8477. Sergeant Kevin Black and Lieutenant Chris Robinson have been assigned to Carl's case and can be contacted at 770-254-2355. Both Robinson and Black can be reached through email as well, and I will add those addresses to the show notes and on the Sipping on Some Crime website. Carl's story needs a spotlight. Investigators know the way to solving this case is keeping Carl's story in the public eye. We can help investigators by sharing Carl's story on any platform you're comfortable with and remind those responsible for his murder that Carl has not been forgotten. Thank you again for tuning in for a mini episode. As always, there's always at least two mini-sodes released at the same time, as I believe every case deserves its own episode. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, hitting that subscribe button and leaving a review helps get these cases to more ears. As always, don't forget when you see those missing and murdered posts on social media to hit like, share, and retweet. Every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case. Until next time.